I appreciate your pastor inviting me to come and share today with God's Word. I'm a little bit ticked off at him, though. I want you to know that. He used to be my friend. He asked me to come and speak today. And I thought he was planning a Thanksgiving dinner.
He saved that one himself.
Uh-huh, yeah, last week, right? And so that's okay. I'll get even with him somewhere. You know, we struck up a friendship in the beginning. I don't know if he shared this or not, and maybe he wouldn't want me to share him. I don't know, but his wife and my wife had polio when they were young. And so what we discovered was that they wear the same size shoe, only their polio is in opposite feet. So you know what that means? Whenever Alice buys shoes, she has to buy two pairs. And not like a young lady at Nordstrom's when we bought a couple of pairs of shoes. She said, what a great idea. When you wear out one pair, you can wear the other one. Think about that. 1 foot is a 4.5, the other's a 6. That doesn't work. So anyway, consequently, whenever we get a pair of Alice gets a new pair of shoes, Sandy gets a new pair of shoes, and she's probably not telling you all about that. She's making you think you're having to give more money so she can get a new pair of shoes. I don't know. I don't think so. Anyway, I'm just jesting. If you'd like to follow along with me in 1 Thessalonians, somebody had mentioned about me, am I enjoying retirement? I retired a few years ago, and since I retired, Alice and I have interim pastored three different churches in 3 different states, and we started a church in another state, so that's 4 states. And then that church today, it's been in existence for a little while now. It's running, they're running 3 morning worship services, and they're running well over 300 daily. God has really blessed them richly. So we're proud of that. So anyway, retirement's been fun. Okay, in 1 Thessalonians 5, I will begin to read with verse 12 of the 5th chapter. Now we ask you, brothers, to give recognitions to those who labor among you and lead you in the Lord and admonish you, and to regard them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are irresponsible, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that you know one repays evil for evil to any other, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good and stay away from evil, every kind of evil. Father, we pray that you'll direct our thoughts this morning. We know there's a lot of stuff going on in the world that brings us to our knees, that should. But we just pray, Lord, today that we will be re-encouraged and renewed and inspired to walk with you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In everything, give thanksgiving. We are upon Thanksgiving Day, the national holiday in America. And Paul writing in Thessalonians in this passage, "In everything give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus." There is so much to be thankful for. And often I think we think we're saying thank you to God and we end up not doing it. God has provided so much for us. I've thought about it, and since the beginning of time, as far as we know, God has provided everything that mankind ever needs to live on. He's provided sheltering and how to get shelter. He's provided food and nourishment, and people have lived for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years on God's provisions. A friend once said, "Should we pray?" And he said, "Even the hogs grunt before they eat." I was in a restaurant one time, a couple of fellows and I, we were praying, and we finished praying, and a woman came up from another bench, and she said, "Is it okay to pray before a meal?" I thought that was an interesting way to ask that question. And we tried to explain to her, absolutely. It is right to do that, to give thanks. Do you pray before you eat?
Yep.
Well, we're living in that kind of a time when people are busy and in a hurry, forgetting to give thanks to God for His abundance. Giving of thanks was born in the heart of God. Even in the Old Testament, in the very beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and they had two children, Cain and Abel. And it came time for them to bring an offering to God. Those were thanks offerings. One was acceptable, one was not. But they went before God to present an offering. King David is recorded in 1 Chronicles 16 that when he had moved the Ark of the Covenant, and he moved it over to what is known as Mount Zion, or the city of David, that David was so excited, and the children of Israel were so excited, and they continued to give thanks to God for allowing them to move the Ark of the Covenant. In America, many days were celebrated with Thanksgiving long before it ever became a national holiday. When the pilgrims crossed the sea, they lost half of their people before they arrived in Plymouth. But when the first year passed by, the Indians had taught them so much about living in America. They gathered the Indians and those that would come and the people that were left, and they gathered around a big table and they gave thanks for God's provision. They paused to give thanks. In America, before the time of the Constitution and the forming, many days were spent in giving thanks. Just saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God." First Continental Congress met and discussed the idea of having one national day of Thanksgiving. And so they discussed it to great length, and some thought it was too much, some thought it was too little. The great discussion led to President George Washington declaring that November the 26th would be set aside for Thanksgiving. George Washington, on that day, it was a stormy day, cold, windy. He went to the St. Paul Chapel in New York City, and there were a few people that showed up that day, but he brought beer and food to serve to all. That's the way to do it, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding. I don't drink and any of that, and I don't recommend it. But that's what George did. An attitude of gratitude. But not until 1863, President Abraham Lincoln signed the decree that America should set aside the day in November as Day of Thanksgiving. And it became a national holiday. Now I want you to know there are some Looney Tunes who are trying to do away with anything that has to do with God. They're even talking about abandoning Christmas. We shouldn't be observing that. And Thanksgiving. They err so much because we have so much to be grateful for in America. Jesus showed us how to be thankful. And by the way, my sermon's going to be brief today because I was planning on a meal. So I thought, people aren't going to like that. A long sermon. When we pray, we're actually giving a testimony of God's ultimate provision and the giver of grace. The first thing is, if you'd like to follow along with me, in John, the 6th chapter and 11th verse, Jesus gave thanks in verse 11. The feeding of the 5,000 in verse 11. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as many as they wanted. What an exciting day. The children, the people of God, people who are interested, follow Jesus around the Sea of Galilee, and it's estimated the multitude were over 5,000 people. And as the day began to drag on more and more, people became hungry, and Jesus, recognizing that, said to his disciples, "You feed them." See, you should have had a meal today. You feed them. Now, what were they going to do? How were they going to feed 5,000 people? Can you imagine the task? Well, Philip, being who he was, said, "How can we begin to feed them? It would cost us hundreds of dollars to feed them. We'd have to go into town and buy the food." And then one of the disciples, Andrew, he said, "There is a boy here." You know what I think is fascinating about that is that Andrew was eyeing that boy. He was looking around and he saw that boy had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He's going to need help eating that when we stop to eat. And he spotted him, but he was willing to tell Jesus, "There is a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But what is that among so many?" You know, it's fascinating because I remember back in the 60s when I entered the ministry that one of the things that they were telling us that the population in the world is going to be so great that it will overwhelm food supplies. And people will be starving and lying and dying in the streets. It just won't be enough to feed them. Well, that was 3 or 4 billion people ago. You know, there is no hunger problem in the world. The only hunger problem is from political, not the lack of food. God is a great provider. Jesus took the 5 loaves and he took the 2 fish. And then he prayed, "Lord, thank you for your provision and how you're going to provide this day." Even Jesus said that. And they multiplied the bread and the fish, and they began to divide into groups of 50, and they fed the multitude. Jesus stopped. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he paused to give thanks for God's abundance. We should be grateful in God's abundance. How did you get here today? In a car, most likely. God faithfully provided. It's amazing when you begin to think about all that we have and the abundance that we have. God is the ultimate. We have so many blessings, so many things to give thanks for. And His abundance never, ever runs out. If you look in verse 41 in the 11th chapter, another passage that we find that Jesus gave grace for and gave thanks. In chapter 11, John 11, verse 41, so they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I know that You always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this, so that they may believe in me. Father, I thank You. You see, Jesus is thankful in the matter of answered prayer. Now, I've been pastor for a long time, and I'm going to tell you a tendency that I have found is that we often ask for prayer, and many times we pray, and we seldom ever respond how God responded to our prayer. You don't hear reports how God answered prayer. You know, I remember that we prayed that we'd be out of Vietnam, and we left Vietnam. People, so many have died. So many have spent much. Very few churches stopped to give thanks. And on we could go with that. Alice is here. She used to work for the Boeing company. We were in Northwest for 25 years, and she worked for Boeing. I used to tell people she built the right wing on the 777. She didn't do that. She was in clerical. She worked for a group of engineers, and she became a little bit weaker, and she determined that what she needed to do was to work part-time. So she asked a couple people, I'd like to work part-time. Boeing does not hire part-time people. I'm going to pray about it. Go ahead. But Boeing does not hire part-time people. So she asked around. She asked big boys and big girls. Boeing does not hire part-time people. All right. And she continued to pray about it. One day the telephone rang. Ding, ding, ding. And it was a lady she had met somewhere along the way and had worked with her. And she said, Alice, I've got a project that Boeing has assigned me, and I'd like for you to come and work with me. Alice said, I would love that. She said, but Alice, there's one problem. It's part-time. What do you do with an answered prayer like that? How can you not say thank you, God, for how You have provided? How often do we pray, then forget to give thanks? Have you thought about answering, asking in prayer and then thanking God before you ever heard the response? Thank You that You hear me. That's what Jesus did. Before He raised Lazarus from the tomb and He said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus said, thank You that You hear me when I pray. There's a third thanks that Jesus taught us in Scripture in Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to infants. Thank You for revealing Your word. How long have you been a Christian? Haven't you learned over the years that God has entrusted you with His Word? If I were to say something theologically in error today, most of you would catch it. Hey, big boy, you were wrong in that. And you would say it like that, or you were wrong, one way or the other. You would be ready to cut me off. You know how you came to that place? God entrusted you with His Word. Entrusted you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the revelation that you have allowed me to participate in. Do you remember the lady Helen Keller? Helen Keller was born in Kansas, and we had visited her house a few years back. Helen Keller was born deaf and blind. When you think about that, think about the darkness and the hole that she must have felt that she was in. She couldn't see. She couldn't hear. And the only way she communicated was through groans, grunting. She would sling food and throw it around the room, and she'd throw dishes around the house. She didn't hear them crash. She didn't see it make a mess. She was only working out whatever she had going on in her mind. And yet the family was wise enough to hire a faithful maid, a lady who worked with Helen Keller. And she taught her how, through hand signals and the hand and the fingers, and she was teaching her letters, and Helen Keller couldn't get it. She just couldn't get it. It didn't make sense. One day they were at the pump, pumping water. And Helen Keller put her hand under there, felt that water, and the nurse went, ch-ch-ch-ch. And all of a sudden, Helen Keller realized that there was a connection with this and that. She was being enlightened by God. She went excited. She threw the water. She threw it this way and that way, and she got all wet and laughed and carried on. She had caught on to what was going on. Helen Keller, she was enlightened. Helen Keller has done more for the deaf and the blind than any other person who's ever lived. She came to the place where she could actually speak. She learned to speak from hand signals. She couldn't hear herself, but she could speak. And she led in conferences and learned and came up with signing and braille and other things to help the deaf and the blind. Helen Keller always prayed this. Three things she thanked God for every day. One, that He has entrusted me with His work. Helen Keller attributed what she was able to accomplish to the hand of God. I thank Him every day. A second thing she's prayed is that He has, in my darkness, placed a lamp of light. I'm telling you, when I read that, I got chills. Can you imagine? She was so dark inside, and God placed a lamp in her heart. That's impressive. And the third thing she said I'm thankful for every day is that I have another life to look forward to. A life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song. Wow, she was looking forward to heaven, wasn't she? When she got her eyesight, when she got her ears, she could see, she could hear. That is being grateful for what God is doing in your life. Thank you, Lord, for revealing. I've been thinking about the last few days for some reason about if I'd have been caught for all the stupid things I did, I'd be in prison for the next 140 years. But God spared me from that. I was on a piano bench and Jesus came into my heart. He spared me from all of that. I'm grateful. There's a fourth thanks that Jesus gave the illustration in his life for us, and that is in Luke chapter 22. Chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 19. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On the night before Jesus was betrayed, just moments before he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he gave thanks. I don't think we have all of Jesus' prayer. He didn't just thank God for the bread. I know he came up and I thank God for the Jews, but I think Jesus prayed more, but I don't know what he said. I kind of have an idea. Because Jesus did what he teaches us. In the scripture we read in 1 Thessalonians, we read it. Be thankful in everything. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about that over the years. And King James, I think, says, and be thankful for all things. Scripture does not say be thankful for all things. I mean, how can we be thankful for all things? But in the midst of everything, we can be thankful. There are so many tragedies, so many crises, so many heartaches. I remember one time in church, I, being so wise, I said, "It's easy to have a baby and a woman who had six children spoke up and said, "That's what you think." It's true. I've never had a child. There are a lot of pains, hurts in life, tragedies that happen along the way. Yes, but it's not a time to be angry at God. It's a time to give thanks in the midst of it because of God's great faithfulness. Let me say it this way. Paul, when he was writing Thessalonians, he was in jail. That wasn't like jail in San Francisco or in L.A. where they let you out because you killed some people. He was in the midst of scum, waste, and human tragedy. Writing in prison and saying in everything, give thanks to God. I want to remind you that Jesus saying this here at this table. Thank you, Lord, for this bread and for the fruit of the vine. He was getting ready to go. You think he knew what he was going to head into? He knew exactly. He knew that from then, from that point, for several days, it was agony. When he went to Calvary, he hung on the cross and knew that when he breathed his last breath, he would spend 3 days not just in the tomb, but in hell. He was headed to hell. And he went there and paid for your sin and mine so that we don't have to. But when he came up out of that grave, thanks be to God. He did it for you and for me. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. Some of the greatest accomplishments in life come out of the midst of trials. The pilgrims crossed the sea to come to a new country with 48 people. Half of them did not make it. They died along the way. Would you have become discouraged? You think you would have turned back? We don't know, do we? Some of the greatest accomplishments come from great trials and tragedy. Let me read a scripture. Psalm 100, if you'd like to follow along. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that Yahweh is God. He made us. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For Yahweh is good and His love is eternal. His faithfulness endures through all generations. Would you say amen? Amen. Oh, that wasn't very good. Come on. Amen. There you go. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song softly and tenderly. Father, we pray that You will speak to our hearts. And God, we will respond to You with thanksgiving. You have done so much, Lord. And You're doing so much. We have so much to be grateful for. God, may we not leave this place saying it was another sermon, another song. But God, may we go as a people with changed hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
And I'll take that up with Dana when the time comes.
Now listen, you all go home wherever you're going and have a great day.
Amen.
And rejoice and remember the what?
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Another song?
Time now is me. Yeah.